life. Actually, I was going to talk about Jacob and his father and the last blessing, and of course, Jacob's ladder. That's why we were singing. But last time, I mean, a couple of days ago, I changed it. I want to save that for Father's Day. Where, as I was preparing the sermon, oh, that's for the Father's Day. So we will see Jacob's letter next week. And today, we will have Jacob's love story. Who doesn't like love story, right? It is the story after Jacob met God in Beersheba. And he continued to head for Haran. So you can see the picture, the map over there, which is modern-day Syria over here. As you see on the map, it was a 550-mile journey. It probably took more than a month. He was looking for his mother's brother, Laban. And he came to a well, and there were shepherds who gathered with their sheep. And we need to understand that water was like gold in that time. It was a common well for all the people. And there was a massive stone on the top of the well, thick and very heavy. So probably a few shepherds had to work together to move the stone and draw water from it. So if you come to a well alone, you have to wait for some shepherd coming for water and work together to move the stone and get water from the well. So when he got there, there were already a couple of shepherds there. And Jacob, he asked them, "I'm looking for my uncle Laban. Any of you know him? Please tell me." And they look at each other and said, Of course we know him. Here, she's his daughter, Rachel." Then Jacob looks at, and he is overwhelmed with joy. Just imagine that. He walked over a month to find his uncle, and finally, he met his daughter. It was not just a relative, but a beautiful young lady. So Genesis 29, verse 10, it says, "As he saw her approaching, Jacob went up and rolled the stone from the well," and rolling the stone, just imagine that should be done by a couple of men. But he did that alone. Can you picture that? This young man, Jacob, wanted to look nice before a beautiful lady, young lady. It was like, "Look at me, Rachel. Look at me. I have muscle. I'm the man." Probably he paid for that with a chiropractic for a few weeks. Then he told Rachel he was a relative of her father. So she ran and told her father, "Finally, Jacob met his uncle." And he also met Rachel, Leah, and many other, the rest of the clan. Now Jacob works for Laban for a month. While he was working for his uncle, he was falling deeper and deeper in love with her, Rachel. And at the end of the month, Laban talked to him, "Jacob, I don't think it's fair. It's not fair. You work for me for free. Tell me what you want. Tell me, how much should I pay?" In Genesis 29:16, it says Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. The other one, the younger one, was Rachel. Leah's eyes were beautiful, and Rachel was graceful and beautiful. Jacob loved Rachel. So he said, "I want Rachel. I'm going to work for you for 7 years. he wants to work for him to get married to Rachel. My wife and I, we were missionaries in South Africa, and we taught the Bible in India at a seminary. Both South Africa and Indian culture, they have a dowry for marriage, but they are different. So dowry is a bride price for them. So in South Africa, a groom has to pay his fiance's parents for getting married. So a friend of mine, he was so concerned because his fiance's parents, they asked him to pay three cows. It was a huge amount for him. But in India, it's the reverse. The woman has to pay her fiancé to get married to him. So bride parents buy their son-in-law a house, car, or anything else. Interesting, right? So maybe that's why my wife likes South Africa and I like India. Just joking. But Rachel was worthy of a 7-year wage for Jacob. It is like, this is how much I love your daughter. I love her so much, and I'm going to work for you for 7 years. So he began a 7-year journey to get Rachel. But it seems like a few days for him because of his love for him, love for her. But after 7 years, Jacob said to Laban, my time is done. Give me Rachel, my wife. Then Laban gathered all the people and made a feast. Let's think about this. It is the time for the wedding. It was just wonderful with excitement. And all the joy goes with that. And Laban is about to pull a little bit of dirty trick on Jacob. When a bride came for the wedding, she was clothed in a heavy veil, not like the veil in our time, which you can see through them. But at the wedding, they did not have real eye contact because of the heavy veil. So the priest, officiate the ceremony, and there was dancing and feast and big party. And finally, it was dark. The groom went into the tent. Then what happened? Laban brought his daughter, Leah, not Rachel. When morning came, there was Leah, not Rachel. Then Jacob said to Laban, what is wrong with you? I served you for Rachel, not Leah. Why did you deceive me? By the way, what was Jacob's name? What did he mean? Deceiver. Trickster. But now Laban deceived the deceiver. And Laban said, it's our custom. The older gets married first, so you work another 7 years for Rachel. Then I will give you Rachel. But Jacob loved Rachel, so he did so. He worked for Laban for 7 years. In a traditional wedding, if a bride has a veil, the groom lifts the veil just before the wedding. Maybe that's why. We have the reason. You want to make sure you are getting married to a right person or not. Then how is it Jacob was confused on that night? Maybe first of all, there was a heavy veil. And the second, it was his wedding. Everybody wants to see him. Have fun. And he had many glasses of wine, and finally, when he went into the tent, it was dark, very dark. And there was his bride waiting for him. And I want you to think about this story because it's very humorous. And then there was a moment of silence and sadness. Where is Rachel? Rachel knew Jacob had been working so hard for her for 7 years. Probably they already fell in love with each other. She thought it would be her wedding, not near, but Laban tied her in a tent, and she was weeping all day long, all night long, because her heart was about to be broken. And this is the man she loves, but her sister is given to him. And what about Leah? What was Leah thinking? She was there with the veil over her face and tears streaming down all day long because her father made her to do that. What about the whole night while waiting for Jacob in the tent, making love with him? She might have been holding back her tears and biting her tongue, thinking, it is not what I want. This is not what I thought. And what do you think she was praying the whole night? She was waiting for him to wake up in the morning, saying in her prayer, Lord, please, please make him love me. Make him love me. Make him want to be with me. Please change his heart. Not Rachel, but me. But when morning came, that was not what happened. So we see the tragedy in this humorous story. Maybe Laban, he made this tragedy because he cared about her daughter as her father. Nobody loved Leah. He might have worried about his daughter, Leah. When I die, who's going to take care of her? There should be a man, a good man, like Jacob. It could be what happened on that night. So we understand that life sometimes doesn't work how either Rachel or Leah thought it would be, or Jacob. So it was a tough time for a woman to live 4,000 years ago. And we have a story of two women. So I want to wrap it up with one message in this story. Do you think Jacob suddenly begins loving Leah because now she is the wife? He takes care of her, provides her everything she needs, yes. But we know his heart is for Rachel. His love is Rachel. Then how does Leah feel? Desperate. She might be hopeless. And think about your marriage and your relationship with your friends. Everybody longs to be loved. We want to be an apple in somebody's eyes. And we want somebody to look at us and treasure us. And Leah wants to be loved by her husband, but she's not the one. And she has three sons. And every time she gave birth to a son, she thought, now I have Jacob's son. Now Jacob might love me. Jacob might love me. But it did not work as she expected. He just loved Rachel. But here is something Leah missed. In verse 31, it says, when the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, God enabled her conceived. Each one of those three sons, they were gifts from God to Leah. It was like God looks at this unloved woman and says, Leah, look at me. I love you. You are perfect. Just the way you are. You are my beloved one. God gave 3 sons, not so they might be a bribe for Jacob to love her. God gave these sons in the way of saying, Leah, I love you. I love you. She may not love you the way you want, but I love you always. More than you can possibly imagine or believe. So we know the power of love is pretty astounding. When you know we are loved, when you feel it, we live our lives in a different way. And the main message of the Bible is God loves you. God loves you just the way you are, even in a moment you don't feel it. This is the dominant theme of the whole Bible, God's love for each one of us. And this is the message to you and me. You may encounter a tough season, a few things you are struggling with, or at some point, you may feel lost, frustrated, lonely, depressed, and desperate. But we see the clear message here. God says, I love you. You are my beloved child. And we also need to find Rachel and Leah around us. And here is the message. God's love for you and me, even in a time we don't feel it.